Well, that was quite something, old chap, said Dixon Hawes. Dixon Hawes was Canadian, but he'd gone to a minor red brick university in England, and then ever since he had pretended to be English. But do you have anything more exciting? The subject under discussion was arcades, entertainment. People had spent so much time indoors playing video games that there was a thought, maybe they'd like to get out of the house and go to something interactive on dates. At least that was Carter's hope. He wanted to build an audio animatronic amusement park that would scare the bejesus out of teenagers and make him rich. But Dixon Hawes was the last venture capitalist he could find. Phony, even though he was. The last venture capitalist that might possibly invest in his idea. He had shown him the horrible swelling egg at the seashore. He had shown him the well. His operation was in an old warehouse, and yet, amazingly, when you slid back one of the doors and went into one of the rooms, it seemed as though you were outside. And he had shown him the well. It was old bricks with crumbling mortar and moss, real moss and lichen growing on it. And when you went to the edge and peered down, there was some monstrous Batrachian presence looming up out of the water at you. When you, despite yourself, you shuddered back. Now Dixon Hawes said, but do you have anything else? He said, well, there's, you know, you can have like a little electric thing, so you get an electric shock from the moistness in your hands and the dampness, you get an electric shock, and we can have jets that will blow the girls' skirts up, and they'll be clinging on to each other, and that's what they want on a date, as an excuse for people that haven't, you know, touched yet. They'll be all over each other. No, Dixon Hawes, you know, it's got to be something else. And Carter said, okay, but you have to be really, really okay, old chap. No, you have to be really, really quiet. Dixon Hawes was his last chance. There were no more venture capitalists left. Romney had taken leave of his senses and gone into politics. Silverberg had been found with all of his cash by the Chinatown Y, wandering confused with all his money in a duffel and a gym bag. No, Dixon Hawes was his last chance. Let him down the corridor. Carefully unlocked the lock and slipped back the door, but before it could, Dixon Hawes said, I think someone's having a game with you, old chap, because written in a reddish-brown ink, and it could have been my blood if it wasn't so red, with the words Horror House horribly misspelled. Carter shouted, you really have to be quiet. Quiet, quiet, quiet. And he slid open the door quietly and pushed Dixon Hawes through and closed the partition behind him, and they were outside. It was evening, and they were outside, and the grass was a strange bluish green. The sky was sort of beige. Trees were strange, and they were next to a highway. Odd eggplant-colored cars, triangular and ovoid and deltoid and odd vegetable-like colors and strange conformations whizzed past quietly. Says, where are we? What is this? Shh. And they were at like a turnoff. Carter led him to a little sedan, puddle jumper, sport egg. It was Cerise. I got in it. The controls were strange, and it started up quietly. And they were on the highway. And they went past filling stations with strange pyramid-shaped pumps. And models, billboards with models with too many teeth that were holding up something that were either very advanced toothbrushes or crunchy snacks. Dixon Hawes couldn't tell. And they merged with the traffic, and they whizzed along quietly. Dixon Hawes says, what's the point of this game? Just to get home. We're just like everyone else. We're trying to get home from work. There, you see it? He pointed over his shoulder. A tiny black bullet-shaped car. Not really black, but that intense grayish brown of a thunderstorm that's covering the entire horizon in the direction that you're going. A tiny bullet-shaped sedan in that color was moving up slowly from traffic, and it fastened onto a puce wedge-shaped car, hung on its bumper, and as they drove along, looking over the shoulders, they saw the black bullet-shaped car force the little wedge-shaped car to the side of the road, and thin, wiry, brownish arms shot out of the bullet-shaped car and forced down the windows of the little wedge-shaped car. And they could hear the screaming. What did you say, old chap? What's the point is? We're just trying to get home like everyone else. And Carter moved the cars gracefully through the traffic, trying to get ahead. But they could see behind him another one of those little black bullet-shaped cars. And it slowly moved up on them, and moved up on them, and moved up on them. Carter began to drive more skillfully and forcefully, changing lanes, moving into a gap, trying to get ahead. And the bullet-shaped car got closer and closer to them, and it was almost on their bumper. And Carter swerved, and they were in that lay-by that they had started at, it seemed. And the black bullet-shaped car shot past them. They got out of the car, closed the doors, and went to some trees, and then suddenly Carter slid open the partition and ushered Dixon Hawes through and closed the door, and they were back in his dingy warehouse. Dixon Hawes said, that was a little too realistic for me, I think. I think I need a drink. Do you have any whiskey or something? And Carter sat him down on his ratty, busted sofa and gave him some of his dubious reddish whiskey and said, do we have an agreement? Do we have an agreement? You've never seen anything like that. No, gasped Dixon Hawes. I don't think I have. And his color was really bad. I really don't think I've seen anything like that. Shh, quiet, quiet. Okay. Here. Drop the agreement. Carter scribbled furiously, trying to get it down on paper, trying to get this signature. But just then, with a horrible crash, a pair of thin, wiry, brownish arms shot through the thin particle board, wrapped themselves around Dixon Hawes, and jerked him right off the sofa. Carter sat there with his head in his hands as the screaming died away. Damn those vroom! Damn them! Oh! With all he knew about cybernautics, nanotechnology, advanced computronics. But ever since 9/11, he couldn't get a job in defense because of the security clearance. And he'd been trying to use his knowledge to just do an amusement park and make some innocent money, but now the last of his venture capitalists was gone. Oh, damn them, he thought. There's entities far worse than them. There's entities far nastier than them. All I have to do is get in touch with them, and I'm good at communications protocols. Yes, he thought. Yes, he thought. I'll build a horror house for the vroom!
Horror house, and that's a story by Margaret St. Clair from 1954. I apologize for how shaky it is.